Acts chapter 20 and verse 17. And this is the account of the Apostle Paul speaking with the Ephesian elders. And he has come to a place called Miletus. So Acts chapter 20, verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the gospel, the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so labouring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word. Thank you. The Apostle Paul is coming to the end of his third missionary journey. So we've tried to follow a little bit. We've even used some maps from time to time. And we followed round how the Apostle went from Jerusalem or Antioch up round through Turkey, back down through the Mediterranean Sea. Then he went on a second trip and followed back round, went to all the churches, and then again went on a third missionary trip, entered into Europe, and there preached the gospel in Europe as well. And he's coming to the end now of this third and final missionary journey. Years have passed, and he has been faithful to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly amongst the Jews and the Gentiles. He has preached in the synagogues wherever he went, And he has been preaching also to the inhabitants of these cities when he has been there. He's heading back to Jerusalem, and it does appear as if the apostle has some spiritual insight and understanding of what awaits him there. He is realizing that these trips that he has been making around the churches are likely coming to an end. So he wishes to make a brief stop at Ephesus in order to see the people that are there. Ephesus was a very blessed city. And when we think about Ephesus in Scripture, it's a city that, the Apostle Paul preached there for 3 years. And there it was that he met those 12 disciples, not the Lord's 12 disciples, but the other 12 disciples that appeared to have formed the kernel of a church in that place. Then amongst the converts that Paul made, there was a church established and grew. And later, Paul would write a very valuable letter, his epistle to the Ephesians, to this church. Timothy would go and preach there. It seems that the Apostle John went and preached there in that city in Ephesus. And would you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ himself wrote a personal letter to the Ephesians? And we can read that in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. And the Apostle Paul had great affection for the people there in that city. He had made good friends there. But it seems as if the Lord had shown him that this was the last time that he was ever going to see their faces again. And perhaps it was for time, that just the sheer time that it took to make the journeys prevented him from going personally to Ephesus. Or perhaps it was the emotion of the moment. But rather than risk going there and not being able to get away, he rather calls the elders of the church to come and meet him at Miletus. It's probably 50 miles that they had to journey. So there was several days waiting by the time the messenger went up to Ephesus from Miletus and then came back down with the elders. And when they arrived to see Paul, he preached them a sermon. And that's what we have in these verses here. Paul begins by reminding these men of his own dependence upon the Lord Jesus. He tells them that he has been dependent on Christ, and they have to follow his example, being dependent also. And he shows them that when the opposition comes against them, as indeed it would, and when people would come and say to the Ephesians, you've not to listen to Paul, you've not to take heed to his message, he tells them of the earnestness and sincerity with which he declared all things that were needful for their spiritual well-being and held nothing back to them. And so these men heard the apostle speak, and they saw that he had been an example to them in the way in which his ministry had unfolded in their midst. And we don't know what the future holds. None of us can tell what a day or a week or a month or a year will bring. And we must take care how we deal with one another and how we engage with one another. The likelihood of them never meeting again that side of eternity seemed to weigh heavily upon the hearts of them all. But I'm delighted to see how the Apostle Paul describes his role and his ministry and the ministry of these elders in the church in Ephesus. He speaks of a profitable ministry. And in verses 20 and 21, he tells them there how that ministry has been good for their souls and good for their spirits. He speaks of repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ, emphasizing where the heart of any gospel ministry must lie. And sure, there are many things that we will speak about. And sure, there are many things that we're concerned about. But the principal purpose of any ministry must be the declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What Paul calls the gospel of the grace of God. Think about those words for a moment. The gospel, the good news of the grace, the mercy, the kindness of the eternal God to make a way of salvation and deliverance from hell and judgment and damnation and sorrow and pain and culpability and conscience for men and women like you and like me. God's done that. And that is the grace of God. We have no claims upon God except his grace, except his mercy. And this is the gospel of the grace of God. This is the good news of the grace of God. This is faith toward him, and it is to do with the way in which we are following after him. So here we see that the message and the ministry of the apostle was the whole counsel of God. Because all the blessings of God come to sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. No one would remember the quality of Paul's tent making. No one would talk about the good sewing that he did, or the way in which the canvases fitted well together. But they would remember what he spoke to them. They would remember what he declared to them. They would remember the gospel that he preached. He says, "I am pure from the blood of all men." It is a great responsibility to preach the gospel. Some of those men who go down to the rescue mission are aware of that. And he says, "I am pure of the blood of all men." It is not to be taken lightly to stand before men and preach to them eternal things. Nor is it something that is to be desired easily without weighing the burden rightly that it brings upon an individual. Paul says, "I am pure of the blood of all men," because he had preached the proper gospel. There are many, many men, and we have to say women these days, who are not free from the blood of all men because they don't preach the gospel properly. He says, "I will be profitable to you only insofar as I preach to you the whole counsel of God. And you will be profitable to this community only insofar as you persist in enabling the preaching of the whole counsel of God." Let us endeavor together to maintain that preaching of repentance toward God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, he says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." I don't know where Paul heard that. I don't know where he heard that. The Lord didn't say that in the gospel accounts that we are given. So maybe he heard that from one of the disciples who mentioned it to Paul at some stage, that that had been declared by the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe the Lord had spoken these words to him himself. But what a beautiful testimony that the apostle here leaves with these Ephesian elders. This is his testimony to the ministry that he performed. He was going to Jerusalem, and there he would be imprisoned, and then he would be sent to Rome. His life was probably coming to an end. He had a few years left yet, but he would not be a free man, and he would not be able to go where he wanted to go. So these are a few of the final episodes of the apostle in his life and in his ministry, at least under liberty and at large. And here he mentions again that his principal purpose was preaching grace. It was gracious preaching. It was speaking about the kindness and the care of the soul and the body of those around about him. And that is Christian action at work for the glory of our God. Amen.